Okay, so you sent me you sent over a bunch of updates on the markets. And it's pretty interesting stuff. And I don't know about you, but like when I see all those numbers and headlines like swirling around, I kind of just want to cut through all the noise and like figure out what is actually happening, right?
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a deep dive into the latest US and global market news as of March 19th, 2025. Using all the market news and analysis that you sent over. And I guess the mission here is to really like extract, the key performance indicators. Try to identify like what's driving these market movements, and then ultimately like what does it all mean? What does it all mean for the economic landscape?
And I think, what's been so interesting sifting through all this is how do we connect the dots between, individual stock performance and like broader global trends? What's the underlying narrative here?
So let's why don't we start in the US? Just looking at the US market on March 19th, it seemed like there was a bit of a positive close to the trading day. What were some of the things that stood out to you?
Well, I mean, I think what stood out immediately was just that, kind of across the board, major U.S. indices ended in positive territory. So, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed around 41,823.50 bit, which is about a 0.58% gain. S&P 500 finished near 5,647.98, up roughly 0.59%. And then the Nasdaq Composite, saw the most significant jump, closing at 17,658.79, with an increase of about 0.88%.
Got it. Interestingly, in these particular reports, we didn't have real-time data on the Russell 2000.
So, overall, it seemed like a pretty, generally good day for the big U.S. players.
But given some of the volatility that we've been seeing recently, like what do you think was kind of like fueling this upward movement?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the million-dollar question, right? Because even with a positive day, like we have to remember the bigger context, right? And there are, ongoing concerns about inflation, and I think particularly about, the stickiness of core services inflation, along with, persistent questions around service rates and the pace of overall economic growth. All of these things continue to kind of create a sense of, unease, I guess, which can lead to these market swings. And of course, every word and action from the Federal Reserve regarding monetary policy is being closely watched and, heavily scrutinized, which also impacts investor sentiment.
Yeah, it's like the market's hanging on like every syllable coming out of the Fed. But I'm curious, were there any specific company announcements or specific events, that you think might have contributed to that particular close?
So there were a couple of notable positive corporate earnings reports that I think gave the market a lift. You know, for instance, Boeing had a really strong day, up about 6.26%. And Apple also saw, a pretty decent increase, up about 2.07%. And I think when you see that kind of positive news from these bellwether companies, it can often create, almost like a ripple effect, boosting broader market confidence, at least in the short term.
At least in the short term.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we're operating in this global environment. I'm
Always.
sure, like geopolitical tensions
Yeah.
and any kind of news, on the trade front are always adding another layer of complexity.
Always bubbling under the surface,
Right.
and can introduce, unexpected twists and turns,
Yeah.
into market dynamics. So it's,
Well, Jack.
it's something investors are always trying to factor in.
Okay, so, your notes mentioned U.S. futures and outlook. And for someone like me, trying to kind of read the tea leaves here, why is it important to pay attention to what's happening with futures?
So I think you can think of pre-market futures trading as kind of a gauge of the collective mood or sentiment of traders and investors, after the official market closes and before it reopens. And often, any significant NAIC overnight tends to get reflected in those early trades.
Got it.
So when we talk about, US futures, we're essentially getting kind of a sneak peek at which way the market might be leaning when it officially opens the next day.
Okay.
And there are some great sources out there, like, you know, Benzinga's pre-market playbook.
Yeah.
That really dive into these trends and can even highlight potential trading strategies based on that early activity.
So it's almost like getting, you know, like a little preview of the opening bell.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then beyond, you know, that immediate pre-market activity, you know,
right.
What are some of the other key economic reports or indicators that investors are really watching to get a sense of the bigger picture?
So key economic data releases are always crucial.
Yeah.
You know, things like the monthly jobs report, you know, how many jobs were added?
Mm-hmm.
Is the unemployment rate rising or falling?
Right.
Figures on consumer spending.
Yeah.
Really provide a snapshot of the overall health of the economy.
Right.
You know, if we start to see a slowdown in hiring or consumers kind of tightening their belts,
right.
That can signal potential economic headwinds and the market tends to react accordingly.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, trying to gauge the underlying strength of the economy. And it sounds like, you know, keeping up with all of this in real time is pretty essential given how quickly, you know, market sentiment can change.
Absolutely. And luckily, you know, there are some great financial news platforms like Benzinga that provide, you know, those real-time updates on U.S. stock indices and futures. And the market is incredibly dynamic. Right. Conditions can shift rapidly, you know, in response to new information. Mm. So having access to that continuous flow of data is, you know, really vital for anyone who's closely tracking the markets.
Yeah, you have to really stay on top of it.
Right.
Okay, so we've kind of taken a look at the U.S. market, you know, around that March 19th timeframe. Let's zoom out a little bit and look at the global picture, you know, over the past week.
Okay.
Your notes mentioned, you know, the significant volatility.
Right.
And broader global markets. That sounds like a bit more of a turbulent story.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important distinction because, you know, while we saw that positive closing in the U.S. on the 19th, you know, the overall trend in global markets in the preceding week was characterized by, you know, considerable volatility.
Okay.
It wasn't quite as straightforward, you know, as that U.S. picture on that single day.
Right, and, you know, I think the numbers that you shared really kind of illustrate that. The S&P 500, for example, dipped into what's called correction territory recently.
Right.
For some of our listeners who might not be, you know, as familiar with that term, what does that signify?
Yeah. So a market correction
is
generally defined as a drop of 10% or more from a recent peak.
Got it.
And the S&P 500 did experience that, falling, you know, about 10.1% from its recent high.
Wow.
You know, and even though it's subsequently partially recovered, it's still sitting around 5,639.
Okay.
Showing a year-to-date decrease of 4.1%.
Okay.
So it's a significant pullback. And you know, psychologically, that can make investors, you know, a bit more cautious.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And it wasn't just the S&P 500 that was feeling this pressure.
Right. Yeah.
The other major U.S. indices also saw declines.
That's right. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed around 41,488.
Okay.
Experiencing a week-over-week decline of 3.1% and a year-to-date decrease of 2.5%.
Got it.
And then the Nasdaq Composite, which, you know, as we know, has a large weighting of technology stocks, saw an even more pronounced downturn, you know, down about 14%.
Wow.
You know, from peak to trough this year.
Okay.
Currently around 17,754, reflecting a year-to-date decline of 8.1%.
Got it.
So, you know, this really underscores the volatility we've been seeing.
Yeah.
Particularly in that, you know, in that tech sector.
Right. So the U.S. market's definitely been on a bit of a roller coaster. But what I thought was really interesting was that you know, your sources point to a certain degree of resilience in international markets. The MSCI EAFE index was actually up year to date.
Right.
That's a pretty interesting divergence.
Yeah. And I think what's so fascinating here is exactly that divergence. You know, despite the turbulence in the U.S. international markets, specifically those in Europe, Australasia, and the Far East, as represented by the MSCI EAFE index.
Okay.
Have shown considerable resilience up by, you know, a healthy 8.1% year to date.
Wow.
So, you know, this really highlights the fact that that the global economic picture isn't, you know, monolithic.
Right.
And different regions can experience very different market conditions.
Right.
You know, it underscores why it's so important to have that global perspective.
Right. It's not just all, you know, one big market.
Exactly.
Moving in lockstep.
Right.
So what do you think were some of the key factors that were contributing to this broader global volatility?
Mm-hmm.
And importantly, what do you think is behind the relative strength that we're seeing in some of those international markets compared to the U.S.?
So I think there are a number of interconnected factors at play.
Okay.
You know, firstly, there's growing evidence that suggests that there is a slowdown in U.S. economic growth.
Okay.
You know, with recent data indicating, you know, softer consumer spending.
Yeah.
And a dip in consumer confidence.
Right.
You know, so this naturally has implications for investor sentiment and market performance in the U.S.
Makes sense.
You know, secondly, ongoing uncertainties related to tariffs and shifts in government policy, you know, can create caution and contribute to market volatility globally.
Right.
Now, regarding the relative strength of international markets,
mm-hmm.
you know, it could be due to a number of factors that are specific to those regions.
Yeah.
You know, different fiscal policies, potentially stronger economic growth in certain areas, you know, or perhaps even a different sectorial makeup.
Uh-huh.
Of their leading indices compared to the U.S.
Got it.
Which might be less exposed to some of the current headwinds.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a really complex picture.
Right.
And it sounds like we're even seeing a shift within the U.S. market itself in terms of like which sectors are performing well.
You know, we're observing a noticeable shift in sector performance within the U.S. equity market.
Okay.
And, you know, traditionally more defensive areas and, you know, often referred to as value and cyclical sectors. Yeah. And by cyclical sectors, you know, we mean industries whose performance is very closely tied to the overall economic cycle.
Yeah.
You know, things like manufacturing or consumer discretionary goods. Mm. You know, these have been outperforming tech stocks.
Okay.
So, you know, this suggests a move towards what are perceived as potentially safer or more stable assets in the current environment, you know, aligning with investors also seeking refuge in bonds and those more resilient international markets that we just discussed.
Yeah, makes sense. So speaking of bonds,
your
notes mentioned that the 10-year treasury yield has been relatively stable.
Right.
How does that piece of the puzzle kind of fit into this whole picture of market volatility and sector rotation?
So I think the relative stability of the 10-year treasury yield,
okay.
you know, particularly when juxtaposed with the volatility we've seen in the equity markets, can be quite telling.
Uh-huh.
You know, it suggests that while there's certainly uncertainty and risk aversion in the stock market, you know, the bond market isn't necessarily signaling, you know, imminent major economic distress.
Got it.
At least not yet.
Right.
You know, furthermore, the fact that bonds have generally performed better than stocks this year, you know, reinforces that safe haven narrative.
Right.
You know, when investors are looking for, you know, less risky places to put their money.
Yeah.
You know, government bonds are often a primary choice,
yeah.
which can help to stabilize their yields.
Okay. That makes sense. Let's touch on futures and commodity markets briefly.
Okay.
Oil futures seem to be holding fairly steady.
Uh-huh.
But you mentioned that, you know, broader commodity trends are still being influenced by a lot of different factors.
Yeah. So oil prices have seen minimal recent changes,
okay.
you know, hovering around $67.14 per barrel.
Really?
You know, while there's been a slight uptick in the very short term,
mm-hmm.
you know, the year-to-date figure still shows a decrease of 6.4%.
Got it.
You know, and I think when we look at the wider landscape of commodity trends, it's a much more complex picture.
Right.
You know, it's constantly being shaped by a combination of, you know, geopolitical tensions.
Uh-huh.
You know, think about potential disruptions to supply.
Right.
You know, various economic indicators that influence demand.
Yeah.
And ongoing issues with global supply chains.
Right. It's a lot to track.
It is. Yeah. You know, for example, you know, increased demand for lithium due to the growing adoption of electric vehicles.
Right.
Continues to put, you know, upward pressure on its price despite some fluctuations in other areas.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, as always, you know, the earnings season and any new companies or investment products, you know, coming to market can also kind of inject some movement
absolutely
you know, into the financial landscape.
So we have, you know, a number of notable companies scheduled to report their earnings this week, including Accenture PDD Holdings and Commercial Metals.
Okay.
You know, and these earnings reports can provide, you know, really valuable insights into the current performance and future outlook of, you know, different sectors of the economy.
Yeah.
Additionally, the NASDAQ is preparing to list some new ETFs or exchange traded funds.
Okay.
You know, like the market desk focused U.S. Momentum ETF.
Right.
You know, and these new investment vehicles can sometimes generate interest in trading activity.
Yeah.
As, you know, investors explore new ways to allocate their capital.
Okay. So, you know, keeping an eye on those earnings announcements and any new listings could offer some clues about, you know, where the market might be headed in the near term.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with the U.S. market data,
right?
It sounds like having access to real-time updates is pretty crucial.
Yeah.
You know, for tracking these global markets and commodity prices as well.
Absolutely. You know, platforms like investing.com offer, you know, live charts and up-to-the-minute information on major global indices, currencies, and commodities.
Yeah.
You know, so for anyone who's, you know, actively involved in the markets or just wants to stay informed, you know, monitoring these resources is really essential for keeping track of those constant movements and, you know, understanding the broader trends.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, bringing all of this together, what would you say is like the most significant strategic takeaway?
Yeah.
For someone who's trying to, you know, make sense of all this market activity right now.
So I think what really stands out is the continued importance of diversification.
Okay.
You know, the fact that we're seeing, you know, international and value-oriented sectors showing relative strength, you know, compared to the recent struggles in U.S. tech and growth stocks, you know, really underscores the potential benefits of having a well-diversified investment portfolio across different asset classes and geographies.
Right.
You know, looking ahead, those upcoming economic releases, you know, particularly the FOMC meeting, where the Fed will discuss monetary policy and the retail sales data, which will give us more insight into consumer spending.
Yeah.
You know, those are going to be key pieces of information that will likely significantly influence market direction in the short to medium term.
Right. Okay. So just to kind of quickly recap the key points here for our listeners.
Okay.
You know, we saw some positive momentum in the U.S. market on March 19th. But it's important to kind of view that, you know, within the context of broader global market volatility over the past week and, you know, emerging signs of a longer term, you know, moderation in U.S. economic growth.
Right.
We're also seeing this really interesting divergence in how different sectors are performing and the relative resilience that we're seeing in international markets compared to the U.S. right now.
Absolutely. You know, it's a multifaceted picture. And and understanding these various dynamics is really essential for forming a well-informed perspective on the current economic and market landscape.
Right. So for you, our listener, you know, who's interested in getting this clear and concise understanding of what's happening in the markets, you know, this deep dive has hopefully given you that consolidated view of some pretty complex dynamics, you know, giving you a better sense of what's been driving market movements and some of the key factors to kind of keep an eye on.
And, you know, it raises an interesting question for you to think about, you know, given the recent pullback in U.S. tech stocks and the apparent resilience that we've observed in international markets, what might be one specific economic indicator or global event you would be particularly watching in the coming weeks to help you gauge, you know, the potential for a more sustained shift in investment strategies?
Right.
Or considering the ongoing concerns about inflation alongside the possibility of slowing U.S. economic growth, how might different asset classes, you know, like stocks, bonds, and commodities potentially perform?
Yeah.
In the latter half of 2025.
Well, there's some really important things to think about as we kind of move forward.
Yeah.
It's been a really insightful look into the current market landscape.
Yeah, it has.
And we hope it's provided you with a valuable starting point.
Right.
For your own continued exploration.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.